We're back in the Gospel of Luke, and we were away from that last week. We had our team here, and what a wonderful time we had with them. We're going to go over a passage we did a couple of weeks ago, and I titled the message a couple of weeks ago was A Critical Spirit, and how dangerous a critical spirit can be. And we saw that the Pharisees and the rulers in Israel had a critical spirit, and it didn't matter what they did. We saw that the ministry of John the Baptist, they rejected it because he was too austere. And then the ministry of Jesus, they rejected it because he was too much of a partier for them. And so they couldn't satisfy them. And we saw that example also in this story, but we're not going to focus on the critical spirit now. There's a word I want to use for this message this morning, and the word is brokenness. Brokenness. And as we go through this passage, we'll see the brokenness of a woman in two ways. And there's two kinds of brokenness. That's what I want to talk about today. And the first kind we'll talk about first, but we'll go through the passage again and look at it. And one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, that is Jesus. And he went down to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. And when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, he would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." So he said, "Teacher, say it." There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. And when he had nothing with which to pay, he freely forgave them both. "Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she has loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." In this passage of Scripture, we find brokenness. We find brokenness in a woman. A woman who had lived her life in fornication. Who lived her life as a prostitute. And that was what they were saying. They knew who she was. They knew what she did. And they didn't want anything to do with her. But this woman was living in brokenness. Now, we live in a world today where people seek to glamorize stuff. And they have down through the ages, of course. Sin is always glamorized. But glamorized to the point where even in our culture today, they're trying to say that this is an honorable profession. Now, can you imagine that this is what's being promoted? This is an honorable profession for people to sell their bodies. It isn't an honorable profession. Would you want your child? Would you say, "Listen, I want you to grow up and be a prostitute"? Would you say, "Let's form a prostitute school and we'll send our kids there"? You wouldn't do that, would you? And yet, that is actually what is being promoted in our culture today. Now, that doesn't mean that the people that are caught in these traps, you know, you can hate sin, but boy, you need to love sinners. You need to love people who are caught in brokenness because it is a broken society that we live in. You don't have to go far to find brokenness, do you? When you think about addictions, everybody in this room is affected, have family members, I'm sure, who are affected by addiction. Am I wrong? I don't think so. Addiction which destroys people's lives, whether it's addiction to drugs, whether it's addiction to sexual appetite because it breaks up families because people run around on each other, whether it's addiction to gambling, whatever those addictions are, they destroy people's lives, and that's brokenness. And so brokenness is everywhere around us. People are broken. The world is broken. And if anybody gives you the lie that the world is getting to be a better and better place, they are looking at, they're looking in the wrong place. They are not seeing things as they really are. There is a tremendous amount of destruction and brokenness around us. And it shows itself in so many ways. Last night I went to a supper where we celebrated my uncle and aunt's 50th wedding anniversary. Do you know that's going to become a very rare thing? It's going to become a rare thing, first of all, because most people aren't even bothering to get married. And second, marriages don't last. They don't last very long at all. It's coming up to about 75% of a divorce rate for people who get married. And why? Because there's brokenness. Because people are broken. And people don't know how to cope with the brokenness in their own lives. And you get two broken people who come together, and they end up breaking each other apart as it goes. There's such brokenness in families where children are growing up, maybe with expectations upon them, where they're not. There isn't that commitment of love and care for their children, where there's a performance-based love, where if you do everything right, then you're okay. Where children are actually told they're worthless, where they're told they're pieces of junk because they don't do things just quite the same way, where they're often beaten and abused in many ways. We live in a broken world, a broken society. I was reading some statistics not that long ago about university-age people who are in university. Most of them are on some kind of mind-bending pills, prescribed pills, because they can't cope, because they can't handle the pressures and the situations that they're in. There's a lot of brokenness, and everywhere you look, it's there. But you don't have to look beyond yourself to find brokenness. Because brokenness will reveal itself in many different ways. Brokenness is where sin has affected your life, where it's affected your ability to live. And everybody has that problem. There is a sense where the whole world has been broken because of sin. And it reveals itself in some of the more dramatic ways that we see, but it's there. And it's there throughout the world. The problem is some people don't even, that you have some groups of people don't think they're broken. For example, the Pharisee in this story. Here was a man who thought he had it all together. Here was a man who had a critical spirit. Here was a man when this woman came in her brokenness. And she was a display of brokenness. There was no compassion. As a matter of fact, he loathed the fact that this woman had come into his house. He loathed the fact that Jesus would have the gall to allow this woman, whom he considered filthy, to touch her, to touch him. And he was broken. He was very broken, this man. With his pride, he was broken. You don't have to be an addict to be broken. You just have to be a sinner to be broken. And all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. He was a broken man, but he didn't see he was broken. It's really hard to help somebody when they don't know that they're broken, isn't it? It really is. We know that often when it comes to addictions or whatever, people need to know that they're broke. Most of the time, it's amazing how far down the hole people will go, and all the while they're sinking, it's somebody else's fault. And as long as it's somebody else's fault, you can't fix that, can you? You can't help a person who's not willing to admit how broken they are. And whether that brokenness is in the pit of addiction or whether that brokenness is in the epitome of pride, there's no difference really, not in the eyes of God. We make great distinctions. Proud, haughty people can walk about and feel as if they own the world and have a despisement for others and go about their business as if they're the king of the castle, like this Pharisee did, this Simon, who, even in the presence of Jesus Christ, had a critical spirit, had an ungracious spirit, had no love for Jesus whatsoever, didn't treat him with common hospitality of the day where you would wash their feet, where you would anoint their head with oil, where you would kiss them on the cheek when they were greeted into a house. He didn't treat Jesus in any way like that. Why did he ever have him in his house? It's kind of a puzzle. I think it was to see somehow if they could further tear him apart, because that's all he did. And so here is a broken man who doesn't know that he's broken. That's a real tragedy, isn't it? Do you know that it's easier to help broken people who know they're broken than people who don't think they're broke at all. And in the meantime, their sin is spilling out everywhere, like this man's pride and his arrogance. As he stands and he looks with disdain on this broken woman. And Jesus tries to get him to understand what the response of this woman was a response out of her brokenness. There was a response of love. There was a response of devotion. And he didn't see any of it at all. He was blind to what was really happening in this place. Here was a woman in her brokenness who was coming to the one person who could bring healing to her heart. And he was despising it. Oh, friends, when we see brokenness, when we understand brokenness, and here's the thing, when you understand your own brokenness, when you understand your own sin, you get humbled. And then you'll have compassion on broken people around you. But if you don't understand your own sin, you will not have real compassion. You'll have pity at times, but it won't be real compassion. Pity stands and looks, but compassion does something about it in any way that you can. And I just want to encourage you. The first place to come to is to understand your own brokenness. Understand your own sin. Understand your own failings and failures. Understand that the ground is level at the foot of the cross. Understand that one is no better than the other. That all have sinned, as the Bible blankets us all in the same brush. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Your sin might not be my sin. You might not be doing what I'm doing, but that doesn't excuse you. Do you know that one sin caused the fall of the human race? That's how seriously God takes sin. That one sin is enough to bring wreck, havoc, and destruction and misery throughout the world. Imagine then your own sin and understand how it has separated you from God and how it has created brokenness in your life. For a moment, forget everybody else's sin. Forget everybody else's shortcomings, everybody else's failures, and stop and think about your own. And ask God to send a searchlight upon you. And when he does, and if you're willing to allow him to expose you, as he did to Simon here, sadly, there doesn't seem to be any evidence that Simon repented. To let him search you, as the Bible says, search me, O God, and know me. Try my heart, and see if there be any wicked way in me. But then he says, and lead me in the way everlasting. Psalm 139. God wants to heal your brokenness. If you had a wound that was festering and infected and not good, and you just said, well, I've got to cover that up. That's ugly. I'm just going to cover it up, and I'm not going to let anybody see it, and I'll just keep it well wrapped, and I won't take the bandages off because I don't want to look at it. What would you be doing? You'd be destroying yourself. But instead, what you need to do is to take it, let's expose this, ugly as it is, and bring it to the person that can do something with it to bring healing to that problem. And I want you to know that Jesus Christ, He wants your sin to be exposed. He wants you to be exposed to him. Not to a critical, hard, harsh, hateful God, but to a God of mercy, a God who heals brokenness, a God who's willing to touch the messy stuff in your life, a God that's willing to come into the problems that you experience, and some of them that you've created in your own life, some of them others have done to you, and all the hurts and all the sores and all the things that are inside. And Jesus wants to come in and touch these very things because he loves us. Because he was not aghast, and he was not, oh, I don't want this woman to touch me. He was glad that she had come. He was delighted that she was willing to come and get healing that she needed, to experience the salvation that she needed, deliverance from the way of life, and deliverance from the heart that brought her there, and the circumstances that happened in her life. Everybody's got a story. Before you are quick to judge some broken person, how do you know what story they've experienced? Yes, even those who may have been pedophiles, how do you know what they had been through as a child? That perhaps they were abused in that way from the time they were infants. Who knows? Oh, let us fall before a God who's full of grace and ask him for mercy asking for. Doesn't mean that people aren't to be judged for the things that they've done wrong. I don't mean that at all. But I mean, we need to be careful and understand our own brokenness and be willing for Jesus to touch us. There's a verse here, Psalm 38:8. I am feeble and severely broken. I groan because of the turmoil of my heart. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there? It's not an easy place. But sometimes, it's a good place. There's a brokenness that leads to a new kind of brokenness. And that new kind of brokenness can transform us. Psalm 34:18 says this, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Psalm 51:17, the sacrifices of God, and previous to that he says, I don't need these bulls and offerings. That's not what satisfies me. That's not what I'm looking for. Those were symbols of the necessity of a blood sacrifice for sin, which Jesus fulfilled completely at the cross. They were only fleeting shadows. And God says, no, you got to understand something. This is in the Old Testament, friends, that the real sacrifices are a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Jesus said something in Matthew 21:44 as he spoke of him being the stone, the cornerstone. And he said, some people are going to stumble on this stone. And he gives two statements. He said, whoever falls on this stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder. And what he says, I am one who will eventually have to judge the world. And at the end of your life, you will face the judgment of Almighty God, and it will be Jesus Christ, and he will have to judge you. And if you have refused to repent, refused to acknowledge your brokenness, refused to turn, then there will come a day when he will fall on you, and it will grind you to powder. That's the picture that he gives here. But he says, that's not what I want. I want you to fall on me and become broken. I want you to be broken so I can make you whole. I want you to know a brokenness that brings you to the end of yourself. I want you to come to a place where not only do you experience a brokenness in understanding your sin, but also a brokenness in that you understand yourself, that you need to change, that you need a new heart, that you need a new life. And God wants to break us from ourselves. It's kind of like... There's a very good picture, but you take a wild horse and eventually they say the horse is broken. But there's two ways that a horse can be broken. His spirit can be broken, or else he can be broken to be of service, to be gentle, to be able to do things. And in a sense, you can look at it and say, well, you know, I just want to be my own person. Well, you're not your own person. Sin has not allowed you to be the person you were meant to be. The Savior will allow you to be what you were meant to be. But listen, if we saw somebody like myself who was once caught in addictions and ruined and broken because of that, wouldn't it be wonderful to have the chains of addiction broken in my life? Yes, that's the brokenness that God wants us to be delivered from. That we are broken from the chains of sin. That we are broken from that and we are brought into a whole new experience with God. But you don't have to be an addict. Remember, all you have to be is a sinner. We need to be broken from an old way of life and to be given a whole new way of life. And that is for you and for me. That is ours in God and in Christ. 72. We'll just turn it off. There is a place that God calls us to, that this woman experienced in our story here, because we see that she came. And we know that there was a brokenness over her sin because Jesus told her that her sins were forgiven. We know that there was a brokenness in her life over her sin, but there was also a new brokenness, that is, a brokenness of her life over her Savior. That she had broke with an old way of life and come into a new way of life. That she had saw who Jesus was And she fell in love with Jesus, and not in the way that she had been prostituting. She fell in love with Jesus because he had loved her. The Bible says we love him because he first loved us. And the Word of God teaches us that this love transforms our lives. Because now she's coming to Jesus and she's pouring out her whole life before him. Now out of this brokenness, Jesus comes and ministers to her. Now out of this brokenness, she is there, falling at his feet, kissing his feet, wiping his feet with her hair, pouring out this expensive perfume upon him. Unreservedly. She didn't care anymore how many Pharisees there were in that house. She didn't care anymore what anybody else thought of her. She had nothing to lose. She was coming to Jesus, and she was going to be a worshiper of him, falling down before him, weeping and worshiping and loving Jesus Christ. What a beautiful picture. My friends, when God comes and when he touches our lives, he transforms us. And suddenly Jesus becomes more precious than anything else. And we don't care who's watching. We don't care who sees us hanging around with people who read the Bible or pray or any of those things anymore. Because this is all that matters now. I have a Savior who's taken me out of my brokenness. And he's brought me to a place where he broke me of myself. He broke me of my sin. He broke me of my pride and my independence. And he's brought me into this incredible love relationship with him. And that's everything. Praise God that he deals with brokenness in such a marvelous way. Isn't it wonderful what Jesus can do with brokenness? That these both kinds of brokenness are here. A brokenness that leaves her devastated because of sin. But a no brokenness that transforms her life into a new person because of the power of a mighty God and the power of love. And you'll notice that that's what Jesus emphasized in this relationship as he speaks about her here when he asks Simon the question. As he says about the certain creditor here in Luke chapter 7. Verse 41, a certain creditor had two debtors, one owed 500 and the other 50. When they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? And he said, well, I suppose the one that's been forgiven more. He said, yeah, you said that right. He said, you see this woman? Look at her. She loved me. She was completely given over in love towards me. Simon, you don't love me at all. Why didn't Simon love him? How come? Pardon me? Yeah, that's both true. Pride, yeah. And what was going on here? This woman, what did this woman get from God?
Forgiveness.
What did he get? Did he get any forgiveness?
No.
Why didn't he get any forgiveness? He didn't think he needed it, right? So you can see, he didn't love Jesus because he never got forgiven by Jesus because he didn't need to be forgiven by Jesus, so he thought. So this man was broken and he stayed broken and he didn't know he was broken. And even though Jesus pointed out how broken he was, he didn't respond to that. What a tragic story that is for this man. But what an example it is of people who are broken because of sin, and yet in their brokenness, they do not turn to the one who can make them whole. And so they don't love Jesus. And they can't understand for the life of them why you would bother to love Jesus. They can't understand why a person would spend their whole life telling people about Jesus Christ. That they would pour out their energy and their time and their efforts to point people to Jesus. But when you see the chains that people are wearing, when you go around in this world and you watch and you see the brokenness of people's lives, what are you going to do? You want to help. Surely all of us have some sense of humanity or love in us that would say, well, we'd like to help people, but I know where real help lies. If you're certain that it is Jesus that can take a broken life and transform it, then what else matters in life? Does it matter how much money we have? Does it matter how much recreation we do? Does anything else matter than helping broken people? Surely not. Surely. But if you don't see the chains, and if you don't see the answer to those chains, what's that to me? Especially if you don't see them in your own life. How can you help somebody else if first you do not allow Jesus to help you? Remember when Jesus was going to wash Peter's feet? Remember what Jesus said? You're never going to wash my feet, Lord. Jesus said, listen, if I don't wash your feet, you've got no part with me. If you don't let me minister to you, then I can't send you out to minister to others. It's not going to happen. But praise God that he is able to open our eyes to our need of Jesus Christ so that we are not sitting around haughty, so that we are not living that way. May God give his grace not to. Now, that's not saying at times we don't. Whatever we do, sin lies at the door. It's easy to sin for every one of us. The Bible says, let him who thinks he stand watch out lest you fall. Be very careful. May we be humbled in the sight of God. May we understand our own brokenness. May we have compassion on the brokenness of others. And rather than our passing judgments on all kinds of people and all kinds of circumstances, may we be filled with the love and the mercy and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Even towards those who offend us. Even towards those who attack us. Even towards those who do evil to us. Because that is what Jesus Christ did. He is kind, the Bible says, to the unthankful and the unholy. And if he wasn't, you would have no hope. Because that includes you. So I praise the Lord that there's an answer for brokenness. And that answer is found in Jesus Christ. And that we can enter into an incredible love relationship with him. It may be said of this passage of scripture, the proportion or the recognition of your sin and the depth of forgiveness that has been given by Jesus Christ will determine your actual love for God. Isn't that what kind of comes out here? It will determine your actual love for God. But I'll tell you what, there's nobody here in God's eyes that's worse sinner than the next person. You are the worst of sinners. Do you know that what Paul said after he had been saved for many years? He wrote and he said this, I am the chief of sinners. He had a window. He saw the depth of his own depravity, but he also saw the mercy of God to meet it. You need both. It would be a sinking thing if your wounds were all exposed and you had to just look at those wounds and nothing could be done for them. But oh, when the wound is exposed and then the Savior comes and ministers to that and brings the healing that's needed. Then you can handle the depth of your depravity because you are experiencing the love of God that meets that and covers it by his mercy and his grace. So I praise the Lord today. Praise God for his word and praise the Lord that he could say to this woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. May God give us grace to have the same kind of grace that the Lord Jesus had. To have the same heart of this woman to recognize our sin, to recognize the Savior, and to come with our brokenness and come and be broken at the cross as we trust in him, as he ministers to us, so that we can be made whole by the power and by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God, and we thank you for this example that we see in this story, Lord, that speaks to us of our need of Jesus, of our need of you above everything else. Lord, may we, like this woman, see our need and come running to the Savior who can meet that need. Regardless of what anybody else says or does or thinks, God, bring us to the feet of Jesus Christ, where we will find the healing that is needed, and grant us the grace not to be a discourager of others, but an encourager of others to come and to meet with Jesus. We pray for this morning, and we thank you, Lord, that you are filled with compassion for a broken world. In Jesus' name, amen. God is good. I thank God that He is. I thank You there are no hopeless cases. I bless the Lord for that. Even the most proud and haughty can be brought low. And even the most broken, ruined, addicted person can be saved. So let's have lots of love, lots of mercy, lots of compassion, and point people to Jesus.